Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Tom.
Are you well?
I've just had my breakfast and it tasted pretty good, I have to say. Yeah.
It sounds a lot more calmer than we last spoke. I think you were, well, you were in Russia. You were in a square somewhere,
Where was I?
and it was all going off. It was all going off, wasn't it? I think you were. We were. There was a bit of bother as well. Not I say bother. Wondering if you were going to get to the semi-final. Did you make it in the end?
Yeah, it seems not just a new Premier League season away, it seems about four World Cups ago, doesn't it? It's incredible how a few weeks changes your memories of things. But no, I didn't get to the semi-final of the World Cup because I was on a plane to Siberia. And by the way, it's just as well that England probably didn't get to the final, because I just would not have been able to watch the final. So I was beg, stealing or borrowing information about who won the final, you know, the France-Croatia game. And I eventually got it from the train driver while I was in the middle of nowhere in Siberia. But it was a fascinating experience. And anybody who's thinking about going to Russia, go, because it's a great place. And, I've sort of been looking at the Russian Premier League the last couple of weeks just to see. I've decided that FC Rostov are going to be my second team.
They're your team,
yeah.
Are they?
They lost this weekend. They got the fantastic stadium down by the river, but they won their first two games. But yeah, it's kind of one of those sort of places where you don't really look. It's kind of, you don't look at the Russian Premier League, but there's a lot of money out there and a lot of good players as well. And their league's only going to get stronger, especially with all the new World Cup stadiums. But that's another story.
Well, I've just had a message from Ed Draper. He's on his way to join us as well. Yeah. But while I've got you, I think we'll probably focus on Premier League, but a word on your beloved Birmingham City.
Well, yeah, I mean, very sad to hear that a number of senior
Ed Draper's here. Morning, Ed.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Ed.
How you doing?
Scuds, we were just filling time there. Scuds, we've just set Scuds off on the Birmingham City trail. So, I'll do the quick intro. We'll finish off with that. But Sky Sports News' Ed Draper's just joined us, and broadcast veteran and some say legend Chris Scudder's here as well. Chris, do you want to leave Birmingham, or do you want to come back to that at the end? Or
come back to it. I need to calm down first. After yesterday,
all right.
A lot of senior people left yesterday. So
ominous.
Yeah.
I'll start with you though, Chris, if I may, because obviously the Premier League season got going, and Ed and I, obviously United fans, may have our red tinted specs on. But what's your view? Because obviously an opening day win, 2-1 home victory against Leicester, but all the talk is still about Mourinho, who he didn't sign or who he didn't get to sign. In the window, and obviously there's been a strange tweet and a comment from Paul Pogba since as well.
Yeah, I think that it's only the start of this story. I mean, you can tell me, you two guys, why did Jose Mourinho suddenly say he's a head coach and not a manager over the weekend? And then suddenly Edwin van der Sar is looming over the club, potentially, former great player, of course, which would be a massive sea change for the way Mourinho works, wouldn't it? I mean, his time at Chelsea was kind of marred by infighting sometimes with directors of football, people who had an input as well. He wants to be the main man, doesn't he? He wants to do everything, but he seems to have just taken a step back the last few days. So why is that? You guys can tell me.
Ed?
He's gone off into
Ed
a lay-by.
Draper?
Is he driving?
He's gone off in... I don't know. Well, hopefully Ed will get back to us. I don't know. I think that, if there was to be a director of football there with somebody like Jose Mourinho as manager, it'd have to be his man. I agree with you completely. I think in general terms, the club definitely needs a sporting director, a strategy director of football, call it what you will, because clearly there's been a clash of heads, severe clash of heads with the transfer policy over the summer, and it's just not worked. Some of the names that were getting bandied about on deadline day, it was a disgrace, really. I think Gary Neville said once, actually, a couple of windows ago, you can judge a club by how they behave as it comes towards the end of the window, and I think United were... It could possibly go wrong, did go wrong, because there was Mina at Barcelona, obviously he ended up at Everton, Godin, never going to happen, was it? And so on and so forth. So I think ultimately there will be a director of football or sporting director, somebody like Van der Sar would be great with his background at United. But I think that Van der Sar and Ed Woodward will be on the payroll, as will Pogba, but Mourinho probably won't be in 12 months.
Yeah. I don't know. Looking from the outside in, and you two guys, you know, being United fans, see it probably a little bit differently. But it feels like the end game for me at United. Mm. I don't think Mourinho will be there unless they have a fantastic season. But I don't know, just how can you start the season like this, really, where there's so much uncertainty? And, you know, Pogba, he wasn't captain a couple of weeks ago. He's suddenly captain. Mourinho is suddenly taking a step backwards, saying, "Oh, I'm a head coach, not a manager." As someone had a word with him and said, "You know, look, toe the line, Jose, because you know we're a massive football club, but you know possibly the biggest in the world." And you know he seems to be of, you know, he's made Pogba captain now, but Pogba still isn't very happy.
What? I think it depends what he's been told, what he was told when he was taken over. Don't forget, he's bought, you know, 11 players, spent the best part of £380 million. And quite rightly, in my opinion, you know, he has been given a lot of control. He has been given a lot of control over, certainly more control in his first two seasons or fourth transfer windows than he did at Chelsea. But what quite rightly, I think, whoever has stood up to him and said, you know, these players at circa 30, these sort of quick fix, you know, there's already Matic is already there. People like, he got Zlatan in his first year, he did a great job and has since left. You know, he can't keep spending money on people that are around 30 because if he does leave around Christmas or towards the end of this season and the new guy comes in, you know, he could be left with a core of a team that is very experienced but not a lot of shelf life left,
So, but that's Mourinho.
I have sympathy with both sides.
But that's Mourinho, isn't it? I mean, you know, he's always wanted the finished product because he wants to... He knows probably he's not going to be around in more than a couple of seasons anywhere, so he just wants to get the job done, doesn't he? I mean, legacy has never been his thing. I mean, you know, at Chelsea, he was fortunate because, you know, Lampard and Terry were quite young at the time. And, you know, so he was fortunate there. But, you know, he was new to English football. But now he just wants to, you know, he wants to buy his way to success. I mean, it's interesting today. You know, I mean, money just casts such a massive shadow, doesn't it, over not just the Premier League, but the world game now.
Sure.
And I think, I mean, a few years down the line, all these top clubs are going to be lumped together. And I don't think we'll have the Brightons and the Huddersfields in with them. I really don't. It's going to happen, isn't it? And, you know, these big clubs can do their thing. And, you know, it'll be the circus that it already is in my eyes, really.
What do you think of the other challenges? Well, I say challenges, top four, you know, people that are in the mix for that. We saw Arsenal, City, to me, looked very ominous. Liverpool, I think they'll push them all the way as well. And what do you think about them? Is it going to be the usual names, Chelsea, Spurs, obviously, with a 2-1 victory at Newcastle, but didn't look completely convincing. What are your thoughts on the top of the table?
I think absolutely nailed on. The top five will be the top five we know. I mean, Arsenal... I know it's only one game, but I thought when Emery came to the Emirates that I was a bit underwhelmed, really. Not that I'm a great lover of Arsenal or anything like that, but, you know, I mean, PSG, all the money in the world, but, you know, he didn't do fantastically well there. He seems to have made his name at Sevilla, you know, with those Europa League successes, but they didn't win the league 2 years ago against a modest Monaco. You know, they won it last year, but by golly, they should have done by a mile, you know, and they did in the end. But I mean, I'm not sure he's the answer for them. And Tony Adams had a real pop, didn't he, after the weekend?
He did. Yes, he did. Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, he buys these new players. The guy, Torreira, the guy who was supposedly going to hold the middle together and bring a new spine to the team, didn't even start. And, you know, it's the same old Arsenal. So, you know, you do wonder, and especially with the Stan Kroenke situation, where there's no fans now as shareholders, they're just kind of, you know, I don't know what's going to happen there really, but it's not a great start for them. And I don't think they'll break into the top five. I think they're just going to drop away now. I think they'll be, you know, the likes of Everton might even push them for sixth place. But the top five, I mean, yeah, I mean, City. I mean, I think it's got to be City and Liverpool top two. Really, I mean, just the strength of their squads and the way they've started as well. And then, you know, United, anything could happen, as you well know. And Spurs and Chelsea, take your pick for which order those next three come in.
Sure.
But
I've got to ask you about Liverpool, though, because to me now, I looked at their bench on Sunday fantastic. They've got the quality and depth now. And I think, you know, I've tried to take my United hat off here. In fact, no, that's a lie. I don't. But they've got to win a trophy this year. Surely they've got to win a trophy because
yeah,
score's fantastic. They've got some fantastic, you know, the forward line's one of the best in Europe. They've got people like Shaqiri and Fabinho on the bench at the weekend. You know, I mean, come on, they got to the final of the Champions League last season. They beat, what, City three times out of the four times they played them. Is it their year?
I think they've got a great chance. I really do. Yeah. It's been so long, hasn't it? I mean, how many, 1990, it just seems, it's nearly 30, yeah. nearly 30 years ago for a club.
It's too long for them, isn't
it? Of course it is.
It is too long.
But listen, you know, United, what was the United gap?
27, I think, before Ferguson.
There you go. Yeah. That which tells you, you know, and once they do break that cycle, they'll probably be around, you know, they'll probably dominate for the next, well, now, it's, of course, it's much more difficult now with all the strength and depth of the Premier League. But I think they've got a great chance, I really do. I mean, they've bought well, haven't they? And apparently addressed some of the weaknesses of last year. And the fact that they know how to beat City, you know, it might come down to the results of those games, you know, as long as they're consistent. I think Liverpool at Anfield are going to be really hard to beat, aren't they? I think that red tide is just going to really steamroller a lot of teams. On the road, you know, there are a lot of big games, aren't they? So it's when they play Spurs away and Chelsea away, all those games where, you know, you can easily drop points. But I think if they're going to do it, this is surely the time. But City are so good, you know, simple as that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating, really, isn't it? But I think those two are going to just move a little bit further away from the following three, you know, Chelsea, United and Spurs. A bit depressing, isn't it, really, that we're sort of already, you know, after one game, looking at you know, a split like that in what's such a competitive league. But that's the way it is, and money does talk.
It's something that I raised last season, actually. I think it was the City-Chelsea game at the Etihad. And for all the talk and all the flair and the exciting football that a lot of the foreign managers and the foreign players have brought to the Premier League, there is a sense and a feeling, and again, we've seen it with Mourinho, we saw it with Conte last year, that when things aren't quite going their way, they do seem to, you know, manoeuvre for the departure lounge pretty quickly. And then, you know, the club seems to almost collapse around them, and then they go and try and rebuild again. And I just hope from a United point of view that doesn't happen this season. But I do fear, as you said, that it doesn't look good. And we can only go on Mourinho's previous, you know, his history of the clubs. And when he starts to behave like this, it normally ends up going one way. And there's only one leader at Old Trafford, and that's Ed Woodward, unfortunately, for Mourinho.
Yeah, much more to come out, of course, on that. But I think the Pogba thing is very interesting, isn't it? That he won't say, he said he'd be fined if he spoke out. I mean, that's... What's going
bizarre
on?
Bizarre,
really?
After being made captain as well, because if anything, that might have been Mourinho showing a bit of faith in him, you know, backtracking almost to a certain extent.
Are we overthinking this? Are we overthinking this? I mean, to me, this is a clash of egos.
Mm-hmm.
Mourinho has got an ego like no other in the Premier League, and, you know, he wants to be the main man. You know, Pogba is a great player, as he showed in the World Cup, or certainly the World Cup final anyway, maybe not earlier in the tournament, but, you know... Once you get that sort of tension between people, especially the coach and the players, it's only going to go one way for me, and that's not good for the club, is it? You know, and the Ed Woodward thing. Well, you know, people are speculating, really, aren't they, about what's gone wrong? They've got money to spend, but it's just there's something in the chemistry between people at that club. It just isn't right at the moment. And once that happens, you're on a slippery slope, aren't you?
Because do you think it's a case, last one on United, but do you think it's a case that Woodward might be sort of holding some of the cash back and letting Mourinho sort of get himself into bother so, you know, he can see ahead. He's not, you know, he's a clever guy. You know, you look at the commercial deal, do you think he might be thinking, well, if he's going to go, he's going to go. It doesn't have any impact on the commercial side of things, as he said, in a call to the powers that be several months ago.
Yeah. I think there's a way of doing it. You know, Mourinho can talk to Woodward, but I think the way he does it in public is not good.
No.
You know, that's the trouble. And I think once it's out there and the media have got hold of it, then, you know, you're in trouble, really. And Mourinho should know better, really. But that's him. You know, he wants what he wants. He wants to, you know, he's in a massive football club who he knows has got massive commercial power, and they can buy pretty much who they want. But, you know, And also, you know, something I heard the other day, and I think this is right. Has Jose Mourinho been left behind tactically by the very top operators? Is his style? Can he not live with the likes of Guardiola anymore? And I think that's probably a fair point as well, that he has been left behind and he doesn't like it, frankly.
No, I agree. Well, we'll see how that one plays out. I mean, I'm casting an eye over City's next sort of six or seven fixtures. You know, United have got to get, they can, you know, if they want to be in the mix, they can't afford to drop many points, certainly, and it's Brighton next. But one name that you mentioned there and I'd like to pick on, because I find them a club, one of the most interesting clubs and certainly one of the most interesting managers in the Premier League. And it's Everton and Marco Silva there. You mentioned that you think that they could push a top six.
Yeah.
This is the job, you know, it was all going great, wasn't it, 12 months ago at Watford. Everton came in, it then started going, you know, it might have been a coincidence, it started going a bit wrong for him. He lost his job. He's now at Everton. This is the job he wants. Pre-season, quite frankly, has been horrendous for them. I looked over their scores and they get off to... I'd probably say with 10 men, that's a good 2-2 draw at Wolves. What do you think about him now? Is he overrated? Is he, you know, he's got this mystique around him, hasn't he?
Well, he has. He's either hot or very cold, isn't he? I mean, when he came in, people didn't know who the hell he was, did they? Let's be honest. I mean, he was a guy whose teams play good football, but very Jekyll and Hyde. But when they're hot, they are hot, aren't they? They can compete with the best footballing sides. Interesting. Sure. I mean, the Everton situation... The fans just did not want a results grinding out scenario with Allardyce. And that, you know, to me as well, and I think you can apply that to United as well, can't you? The fans just don't want this anymore. Going back to my previous point, you know, has Mourinho been left behind? People want to be entertained by great football now. And not just, you know, we've seen Arsenal try it and never quite have the mix right. But when they're hot, they're hot and fantastic to watch. But when they're not, it all falls apart. You know, and there are certain managers who can do both. And it's looking like, you know, Guardiola seems now to be able to do both. And that's the key, isn't it? So, you know, people moan when there's lovely football, but you lose the games. You know, it strikes me that you've got two camps now. You've got the ones who eke out results, the ones who play attractive football but can't get the results. And then you've got another tier who can do both. And, you know, Klopp with his great forward attacking players can do that. Guardiola, we know, can do that. Can Mourinho anymore? I don't think so. Which is, you know, United fans won't want to hear that, but...
No, it's right. No, and it's a point, I think, reinforced through our discussions over the summer at the World Cup as well. I think you saw teams like Mexico who, you know, they beat Germany. Okay, Germany weren't, you know, wasn't the finest German side we've seen. You see some of the other teams. It was all very much attacking. I can't really think of any team that sat back and was happy to play for a draw, really. You know, there would have been one or two, of course they would have done. But I just think the style of you know, that spectacle as well at the World Cup, I think fans that have sort of, you know, reconnected with the national team and now are looking back at the Premier League thinking, well, hang on.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen sort of like the so-called smaller nations playing this. Talking of good football, though, Tottenham, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Pochettino, does he fit into the Klopp bracket? Does he need a trophy this year? Because they won. They didn't look convincing, but they won again, didn't they? 2-1, decent start, bit of trouble with the stadium. Is that in the back of his mind?
His reputation is very much intact, though, isn't it? You know, would you like him at United? I think you would, wouldn't you?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think initially, he'd be a breath of fresh air. I think United fans would welcome that style of football. You can't, you know, he's very, very entertaining.
Do you know who I think would be great at United? Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe went to Manchester United because of the way he plays, and given great players, you know, his career is only going.
I'd be a huge.
It may be a bit early, but down the line, you know, his reputation is in playing great football. When he's got better players, who knows what he could do.
I mean, is it a risk in terms of, you know, United, they say
it's too early,
says the commercial side of things will do it. Yeah, it's too early for him now, but I thought he might have been a fair shout, or might be a fair shout maybe for Arsenal. I know we're writing the new guy off straight away, but maybe, you know, something like that, you know, then we'll give him a bit more time maybe than United would. But we'll have to see how Emery gets
United,
on. But
Arsenal don't have the players, United do, you know. And
Laurent Blanc.
Yeah, well, yeah, terrific. I mean, he's, you know, he's been there and done it all, hasn't he? On every level as a player and a coach as well. But, you know, But let's see what happens with Mourinho.
Pochettino, I mean, just on the Pochettino point, I think, yeah, he'll come in, he'd be a breath of fresh air, but I think ultimately United want to be pushing City a lot nearer, and can Pochettino do that?
What I like about him is that he doesn't make a song and dance about anything, and he just gets on with it. You know, imagine if United, okay, they bought Fred and, you know, a couple of other players who you struggle to remember the names of, but you know, Spurs have bought nobody. If that had happened at United, Mourinho would have been out the door probably by now, because he would have had it. And you look at what they've achieved in the last 3 years, Spurs, top four, net spend under Pochettino, £50 million.
Yeah, appeals to the Glazers. Quid. It would appeal to the Glazers, wouldn't it?
You know, which tells me, you know, that, and you look at the
likes of the youth brand of football.
Absolutely, you've got to bring your own players through. And he, you know, so all power to him, and he's got more English players than most as well. So I like Pochettino, and I just like the fact that the way he goes about it, he doesn't make a song and dance about anything. He gets on with it, and they're delivering results. Simple as that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think from a business point of view, and I think from a brand point of view, like you said, he's not going to come out and say anything too controversial. He's certainly not going to harm them in that sense. Football is very pleasing on the eye. He does deliver top four every season. If he could just add a trophy, he would be the perfect candidate. But I think it's the United job has got his name on it, hasn't it, I think.
Trophies. Let's be honest. This thing about delivering a trophy. Premier League winners, there can only be one. So for most of the clubs like Spurs, you're not going to win it because City and Liverpool are just that little bit further ahead. FA Cup, people say, who cares, you know. League Cup, even less so. So where else are you going? Europa League?
Well, my criticism of Pochettino is, and I completely agree with everything you're saying, if he was the next United manager, I wouldn't be disappointed. However, having watched and two games last season spring out, having watched closely, the Juventus game in the Champions League was there for the taking. I thought they lost it in a 10 or 12 minute period in the second leg. I thought they got a fantastic away result away in Turin. And then the second game was they went 1-0 up against United in the FA Cup semi-final. And I thought as soon as United equalised, they really didn't have an answer. And there was more than enough talent on the pitch for them to cause United problems that day. And they didn't. And that is after having battered United, quite frankly, at Wembley in the league game early in the season. So slight question marks over trophies, of course. Yeah, I take the point. You know, it's bloody hard to win a trophy. You just only have to look at what Jurgen Klopp's done at Liverpool. But I just think that in the big games, it might, not certainly in the first year or two, but it might, if we go into year three with the Pochettino, and I know we're thinking way ahead of ourselves now, but I just think that need or that desire of United supporters to win and make an impact, what Sir Alex was great at,
yeah,
I'm not sure that he's got it.
No, I think you're right. It's very much a now thing, isn't it?
I hope he has. I hope he has got it. You know, I hope he gets to the final. I hope he, you know, to see them in a final and to do well, it'd be fantastic. Because then, do you know what? We've got a manager who's got a bit of substance, a bit of, you know, tactical nous. But I just thought Allegri in particular had the better. They were the better team, I thought, Spurs, over the two legs, by and large. But then there was a period of 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was, in that second half. And Juventus just kind of blew them away.
Yeah, well, don't forget Juventus, and they're probably going to win the Champions League this year. Very, very good chance.
Well,
very good chance.
Great.
They got Ronaldo as well.
They've got to fancy it. Real Madrid look like they're, you know, there's a bit of an exodus of players there as well. But I'll go through wrap up the Premier League, because I do want to get your thoughts again on Birmingham and Frank Lampard, actually, as we wrap up. But talking of great characters, Neil Warnock, Cardiff, have they got a chance?
No, sorry, no, they haven't.
What is he? I mean, well, I do feel for him. I mean, I don't know I don't know what they expect when they go up. Obviously, the financial rewards are there, and you know, Warnock will probably retire, or certainly, you know, he's been threatening it for the last seven or eight years, hasn't he?
Once you're on the ladder, even in one league, one season in the Premier League, and you're laughing because you know the advantage you get when you go back down is so massive, as we're seeing now. So no, they just haven't got nothing.
And he's got the record, is he? Am I right? He's got the promotion record, has he, or something? Has he got most promotion since?
Well, that's right. He's fantastic at that level and knows it inside out. What more interesting for me are the likes of Gary Rowett. We'll come on to him in a second at Stoke. But I mean, this at the same time, these percentage managers really who know what it takes to get out of those divisions, you know. But no, I don't think Cardiff have got a hope in hell, really. I was like everybody else, I was really surprised they got up. But, you know, that league is so, so difficult to get out of. And, you know, Warnock used every ounce of his experience last year to get them up. And, you know, good luck to them. But you know, it's a different ball game.
Yeah.
And they were well...
Let's
well
talk about Championship, then. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Completely, yeah. It was... we'll see. But let's talk about the Championship then, because we'll come on to Birmingham, and you mentioned Rowett in a minute. But what about Frank Lampard? A good start, I thought, against Reading. I think it was on the opening Friday night football. But, you know, I really want somebody like Frank Lampard to develop and come on. You know, it's kind of, you know, the changing the guards. People like Warnock and going into retirement. And we need these good, young British, English coaches to come through and really make a mark. Has he got,
Tom, people tell me
how clever he is.
Tell me, right, what makes Frank Lampard potentially a great coach? There's absolutely zero evidence. I mean, he's a lovely guy.
Experience,
Frank, I know.
Experience, yeah, but, and intelligence.
So what? I mean, he's played, you know, so many great players who have gone on to be coaches, and people thought, yeah, they're going to do it. But I don't think really anybody knows at all. It's really how good a man manager you are. You can know the game.
How do you judge it then? Because Southgate was at Middlesbrough. I think he took them down.
Well, there we are.
Or certainly was relieved of his duties at Borough in the Championship. And
Southgate,
now you look at him.
Is doing well now because of his long association with the age groups. And I think that's, you know, with the players related to that. And I think that's why he has done what he has in the last few months. But I don't really think, you know, Frank has any experience to say that he's going to take them up. And people saying, oh, Derby are one of the favourites. I just disagree with that. I mean, Derby have... they're a club who are going to be there or thereabouts, but I don't really think that Frank Lampard's going to come in and take them up. I don't think so. And you know, they're well beaten by Leeds. It's not as easy as that.
No.
I mean, more interesting, just, you know, I mean, it's great to look at him and Steven Gerrard at the same time. You know, obviously, Gerrard's in an easier league than the Championship. Really, that might be controversial, but it's more competitive in the Championship. And I think, you know, what Frank has got to do is spend the next 3 years getting experience of being a coach in a very tough league, and I think that's what he'll do. But I can't see him getting up this year. I really can't.
Somebody you mentioned there then, Scuzz, was Gary Rowett. Somebody obviously you know about as well, and he's one that is certainly doing that. He's getting his experience at that level. What I had a debate with a good friend of mine, journalist, who is a season ticket holder at Stoke City, and I'm yet to be convinced with him, but you know far more than me. Is he got potential?
Well, he's a percentage manager. You know, I'd say he is of the Steve Bruce type, where he knows what is required in that division. But I'll tell you what, his teams don't play attractive football. He's got some good players at Stoke, but
that's the squad. He's good, isn't it?
But you know, a lot of the players who other coaches might think, you know, I'd love him to put some polish on my side. He might not get a game under Gary Rowett because that's not the way he does it. You know, his teams are functional, and you know, to coin a phrase, they'll kind of bore their way up that table. But you know, they've not started well, have they? I don't think it's easy when you know teams players need time to adjust when they come down. But you know, at Birmingham, he really split opinion. People thought, you know, he did well to with financial restrictions to get them into a top half position, but there was part of the reason he left that club was the style of football. Believe it or not, and we're getting onto a whole different issue here, where new foreign owners want a certain style of football. Sure. Gary Rowett didn't provide that. I don't think they will at Stoke, because I think they just desperately want to get up again. So it might be a different criteria there. But his teams don't play great football. They grind their way, and you know, given his squad, he really ought to be in the top few. But
Will he take them up? Do you
think? Very poor start. They've got to be thereabouts, haven't they? Well, how can they not be? Unless something goes wrong in the chemistry of the squad, but. If you ask me now, I'm going to say no, they won't go up.
Okay. And we started with Birmingham, and we'll end with them, because I like to keep an eye on how your team are doing down there. Is it 1 point from 2 games? Is that right? Yeah, two-all draw with Norwich. What's going on?
Well, a lot is going on at the moment because four of the senior staff at the club left yesterday. Which we don't know the ins and outs. There may be a link to the FFP situation where there are rumours of leaks and that kind of thing. But people who have left yesterday are the soul of the club. They've been there many years, over double figures in three of the cases, I think, where they've held the club together after the Carson Young debacle, and all of them have left in the same week. We don't know exactly the ins and outs, and there are legal ramifications here, so we can't say too much about it. But sad day for the club. It's foreign ownership, and the club is in a little bit of a mess at the moment off the field. Restrictions with the financial fair play, of course, where they've not been able to bring in players. So, you know, Gary Monk, very bright coach, but he's got a difficult time at the moment. You know, the bottom line, Tom, with all these things, when you have a little bit of instability off the field, it always seems to translate back onto it, I always think. You know, we saw what happened to Leeds, you know, and good to see them from their
Sunderland,
point of view.
Perhaps?
Well, Sunderland, exactly, yes. You know, when, you know, slightly different with Sunderland because there was a lot of intransigence there, wasn't there? And I won't say mismanagement, but a lot of Sunderland fans were not happy with the way the club was run. So yeah, once unless you're stable off the field, I think there's you know you really do have problems, and you know Birmingham is one of those clubs at the moment. What I will say though is the FFP thing really does need to be cleared up because it seems that half of the clubs in that division have transgressed. Some have been punished. Some we're always told it's coming. You know, it takes them a while for this thing to play through. In Birmingham's case, it relates to the start of last season with the signings that were made by an advisor who was hired by the overseas owners who didn't have the knowledge to run the club in the way that somebody more experienced would do. So all these things are playing through at the moment. And, you know, when you've got that instability, it's very hard for the playing side to function as well. And so that's where it is at the moment. I mean, Birmingham is, you know, got some good players, but it's not going to be an easy season, I don't think.
What if we chat, just to finish off, if we're chatting next May, what would be a good season? Is it survival? Is it you expecting more than that?
Yeah, stay in that division, of course. You know, that's what's what you've got to do. But it's a really hard division. There's some very good big names. Very big. It's getting better. And I love the Championship because, you know, we talked about the Premier League, and already after one weekend, we're even saying, okay, which of the two are going to be in the first and second, and then of the next three, which order is it going to be? And then it's going to be Arsenal, or is it going to be Everton? And we can almost pick through the table, can't we, at this stage already?
Sure.
And what I like about the Championship is that you can't really do that, and everyone's capable of beating everybody else. It's a bit like it used to be, you know, where and at the end of the day, you know, people don't like predictability, do they? Especially British sports fans. It becomes
certainly the most entertaining league in Europe, I think, anyway, in terms of if you want this team can beat that team, top versus bottom. You mean, you saw Rotherham got absolutely hammered, I think, first game of the season, and they beat Ipswich,
you know,
and Leeds have gone out of the blocks absolutely flying. Yeah. Will they be able to maintain that? You know,
think they will, by the way. I think, you know, Bielsa's a great start, but ask me in January, you know, when I think just quickly, I think Middlesbrough will be up there. I just got a feeling that
Pulis,
yeah, I mean, he's got some good players as well, so I think they'll be thereabouts. But fascinating division, and you know, long may it continue. FFP, let's sort it out. But let's have transparency. Everyone knows what they're supposed to do, because at the moment, I don't think people do. You know,
no. Chris Scudder, thank you very much for that. Hopefully, Ed will join us for more than 30 seconds next time. There's rumours actually that Paul Parker will join us on the next one next week. So hopefully, we can quiz him on what's going on at United, a bit of England as well, as we look towards the Nations League. There'll be a break, won't there, soon?
And
we can catch up in the Championship.
Good to see you, Tom.
Cheers, Chris.
Take it easy, mate. Bye.
Cheers.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.